Elevate Visual is a proud sponsor of the Dirt Podcast. Let Elevate Visual help you with your next videography project, including licensed drone services, real estate video tours, business promotional videos and advertisements, and much more. Give Brandon a call today at 320-491-4418.
Up and live and running, Dan.
If you get pissed off at someone, you got this sumbitch in your hands. You got a weapon, let me tell you.
Oh, well, folks, here we are. We are back with the Dirt Podcast, Season 3, Episode 3. Must be a Dale Earnhardt theme thing if we're 3-3 right now, Dan. So, welcome back. How you been? I see you're that's a World of Outlaws Sprint Car Series sweatshirt you're wearing.
Yeah, we won't talk about the World of Outlaws late model
we'll get to that part. So what, I know it's been about, what's it been, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, three weeks?
I think it's three.
Obviously been pretty busy.
Three's been the number.
Got your snowblower warmed up and ready to rock?
She's sitting by the garage door.
Oh, boy. Yeah. What's the prediction? How much are we getting?
Oh boy!
Is it going to be the 24 inches that they said online?
No, they're never right. I'll go with a foot.
You're going with a foot.
I'll chuck the F word out right away this morning.
So tomorrow into Friday is what they say 3-7.
3-7. I'd say it.
I think it's going to be a three banger this round, and then the next round is going to be six. So we're getting nine.
And 206 math works.
I had Mel B and Kelpine, so I was actually.
I had Denny. Denny was good.
We might have been in the same math class. I think we actually were.
Probably.
Was Blair in that one?
I believe so.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. We were in the same math class. But we actually.
We were in the afternoon by the time that happened. Kelpine didn't give a shit anymore because everybody else beat on him all day. Yep. So he, it was kind of laid back.
And we were athletes. We played. So I didn't have a problem with him. I got along with him.
Oh, you got to leave for baseball today? Yeah. Don't even bother coming. You're only going to be here for 5 minutes anyway or 10. Just take the day off.
Yeah. No, other than that, we've missed a lot of action. We've in the racing world.
Well, let's clarify. Not a lot of action. We missed a lot of goddamn drama. Is what we missed.
That's action, man. That's what people want. Is
that, does that fall drama, in the clean family entertainment
that's
category?
Good, clean family fun. 100%. 100%. No, we're getting down there. It's about mid March, so. Obviously, everybody was gung-ho with the weather last weekend. Now, all of a sudden, it's cold. Now, we're going to get a bunch of snow. Now, everybody's going, everything's going to get pushed back.
Golf clubs are back in the basement.
Golf clubs are back in the basement. Geneva's not opening now till April 1, so everything got pushed back, which is probably bound to happen. You knew
it
was coming.
I think it's good, actually, because I went out golfing three times.
Yeah.
It's so damn dry. I think these golf courses that opened up early, I think they're biting themselves in the ass, yeah. I think. It's not a normal spring where there's moisture in the ground. I don't know. These things are drier than dry. I've never seen grass this dry. And we've seen it dead with wet dirt. And then it turns green when the ground warms up. The shit's so dry. I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of grass that's torched. And
right on.
We're going to have different golf courses usually fight with snow mold in the spring of the year. There ain't going to be any of that this year, but it's so damn dry. I think they're going to have winter. I think they're going to have some freaking winter kill in their grass.
Yeah, they could. I could. So we're Minnesotans. We're used to it. We'll brace it. Get the snowblowers out for one last time. I think I only used mine once this year.
I had mine out twice, but it was for the same snow.
Right. Get that done and then get out of Dodge. So, where are we going to start this mess? Where are we going to start? You want to go right to Volusia, to the tire doping scandal and yes. Start with that? Is that where you want to start?
Yes, I would love to start there.
So all you and that majority of our listeners are going to go and know what's going on. So obviously, I believe it was about a week and a half ago, World Outlaws, World Racing Group, Dirt Car came out with some suspensions for some drivers for basically tire doping. They failed some tire tests at Volusia. So Bobby Pierce, Devin Moran, and Kyle Bronson all got busted. tires did not meet the benchmark at Blue Ridge Labs. And this was taken. It sounds like they took tires from 67 drivers, had over 100 samples. They got them all done and turned in. Needless to say, the World Outlaw returning champion and current, I believe he was the current point leader, was he not?
Correct.
His current point leader, Bobby Pierce, got busted for his tires not meeting the benchmark, along with Kyle Bronson and Devin Moran. Bobby Pierce received basically a four-race, one-month suspension, whichever comes first. Looks like right now it's going to be the four races. They're canceled already again this weekend. The World Outlaws did, so he's gonna have to miss four races.
He might not miss a damn thing if the weather's shitty.
Doesn't matter. It's four races regardless. So if they don't race till July, it's four races. So it's not a month. It's either makes sense. So yeah, it's
whatever's longer.
And then Kyle Bronson and Devin Moran were just a dirt car suspension, so they got a month from dirt car, which that's not going to affect them anyway.
They
so
didn't care.
Whatever. No, that's a different deal.
Cost Moran $10,400 because of prize money and fines and shit. But
they got busted on Tuesday. One of theirs was either after qualifying or after a heat. Actually, might have both of theirs been. Pierce's was after the feature on Friday night.
Well, that's why he got the World Outlaws penalty.
Yeah, correct.
If you would have done it on during the week when it was dirt car.
On a dirt car deal.
It wouldn't affect the World Outlaws.
So the big story was their evolution was Brian Carter. And, well, we all know whistleblower.
Oh, yeah.
The whistleblower is Mark Richards.
The same freaking guy that always causes all the trouble.
So Mark Richards got mad and sure threatened Brian Carter. So he got up during Volusia and said, we're clamping down on this tire stuff. And there were swimming pools everywhere, and there was a whole bunch. It was nonsense. So basically, they wanted to get rid of this tire doping. From what I've heard, people were doping tires right out in the middle of the open. I mean, right at the back of their trailers, doing whatever they want. This is what we've
heard. I heard the same thing from different people. So you got two groups of people saying the same exact thing. That's probably what was going on.
So what's initial thoughts? Initial thoughts on the ruling. I want to hear what do you think about the initial thoughts on the ruling?
Well, the ruling is correct. If you have a rule in a rule book, you have to enforce it regardless of who it happens
Absolutely,
to.
Absolutely, yes.
That's correct. Here's my problem. My problem is we've got $80,000 chassis and $60,000 race engines that have essentially one rule. The only rule they have is a droop rule. Okay? Like, if you want to run a 500 cubic inch, 1200 horse aluminum motor, more power to you.
Right.
Do what you want. I mean, there's no rules. The only suspension component that's outlawed is Rumley's suspension component. You can do whatever you want to do.
Minus traction control, obviously.
Yeah. But you can literally do whatever you want to do. Why is there a tire rule anyway? Why? And there's only one answer to that question. Because Hoosier Tire has got the entire racing industry over a barrel. This has got nothing to do with competition.
Nope.
Nothing. Nope. Because you can put whatever shock absorbers on your car you want. You can put whatever engine you want. You can run. There's a 2,350-pound weight rule and a droop rule. That's it. You can literally do everything except run a wedge car. I mean, why is there a tire rule?
So exactly. So, and obviously they're going to keep the tire rule. They're not going to...
Of course they are, because Hoosier's got them over a barrel.
And obviously
they can't
make a
good decision.
Obviously you've seen the amount of time. Every one of those teams got a full-time, maybe two... Full-time and a part-time tire guy.
Yeah, so all you need is a guy with a paint roller with tire dope. And
basically.
The teams would save money.
But as far as grooving, siping, and now you're prepping, it's getting out of control.
Well, grooving and siping isn't such a big deal anymore because they've all got the rotisseries and they've got the ultra-hot.
Well, I get that, but it still takes time.
Yeah, but not near what it used to.
No, but if you had a tire that was just bolt-on and go... You know what I mean? It's boom. Here's your tire.
Well,
you can't do nothing to it. No, bolt it on.
See,
let's go.
That's wrong. That's wrong. if you can do anything you want to the rest of the car, why should the tire be any different?
There's a lot of that. A lot of the series, all the other big series are like that. NASCAR's like that. F1's like that. IndyCar's like that. All them guys are like that.
There shouldn't be a tire rule. I'm sorry. There shouldn't be. If you don't have a rule on anything else, why are you picking?
Right.
Why are you picking tires when there's guys that are putting $25,000 in shocks in their cars?
And at the end of the day, if that was the case, the racing would be way better.
100% would be way better.
And you're not going to – there may be – here's the deal. Them top 20 to 30 teams are big time, okay?
Yep.
They got the money. They got the finances. They're going to do it. And the other thing, you're only talking about a tire they run once anyway.
Right.
Those guys aren't running that tire multiple times. Now, they might have a qualifying set that's scuffed.
They might actually run two heat races and two qualifying sessions one set of tires if they doped them.
And now with the different compounds they have,
yep,
it's a completely different ballgame with that. Tires maybe lasting a little longer. But they're, you know, like you said, they're still, well, you can only run 20 here and a 30 there. Who cares?
Run what you want.
All they're doing, why they do that? Because now you got to buy that tire, spending more money.
Let's add a fifth compound. So, now there's freaking eight more tires in the trailer.
At the end of the day, they might just be a deal. Do whatever you want. We don't care. If you go into the corner and there's steam rolling off your tires because you got so much dope on them, so be it.
Who cares?
You got to remember a lot of. I'm sure Pierce, if he was running a 30 lap feature at Volusia, he wasn't obviously softening it. He was strengthening the tire and putting a chemical in to make sure it was going to refire on restarts. That's the big thing with this.
But that's what you want anyway.
100%.
Because when there's four different compounds, you don't need to soften tires.
But qualifying, you're going to want to soften. So you're doing different stuff.
No, if you're going to run a qualifying tire, you're just going to run a 20.
Was softened.
You don't need a softened 20.
On a short,
you see how soft them 20s are?
It's two laps. I'm just saying, boom, here we go. It might be a tenth of a second. Well, a tenth of a second might be the front row.
Wow.
It's a completely different ballgame.
If it's a normal racetrack, no, if it was old sure step up there
different,
and there was
dust flying during
qualifying, yeah, you'd be running a 20 softened.
Yeah.
But most of these tracks are properly prepped. And they're like ready to qualify on, not burnt toast.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Most of them are.
No, there's been majority of the tracks that I've watched so far this year. And granted, it's different.
This year's been shit to begin with.
There's been tracks that have been dry slick. There's been tracks that have been slime. So you don't know what. That's why they run hot laps.
Hey,
so you don't know what you're gonna get.
Have we seen more than two good races so far this year?
There
was one dandy. I don't remember. I think it was a Lucas race.
Volusia had one with Volusia had that doozy with Madden, Moran. Was it RTJ or Pierce?
Yeah, that was the one.
They
that
had
was
a doozy.
The one, yeah.
But
that was like the only good
East
race.
East Bay wasn't much.
No.
East Bay didn't have nothing good. The sprint cars.
Sprint cars have had a couple good ones.
Sprint cars have had a couple, but the late models haven't really been. East Bay's East Bay. You had six different winners, but
you got to get out of Florida to have good late model racing.
Yeah, I don't remember what they did at Bubba.
It's just not that good.
And then the last couple, where were they? I don't think it was much at where they were. Yeah, I don't know, but you're right. It hasn't been, but that one there has been a couple of decent. Volusia had a couple decent races, but
got to get out of Florida.
They're all doping up their stuff. So yeah, that put a curveball into things. Nobody knows what Pierce is going to do.
Well, I know what he's going to do. Everybody knows what he's going to do. He's going to chase money now because he ain't going
to
win.
Well, he might have to. He does not have Lucas on his schedule this weekend. If you ask his mom. They are obviously not. They sold their Dirt Vision stock. They canceled their subscriptions. They're done with everything. That's according to her. And then if you ask Nick Hoffman what he thinks about that whole deal, well, he deleted all his posts. But there was...
I never even saw what Nick Hoffman...
basically, he said, keep your mom on Facebook. You're a big boy now, is basically what he said. And she, did you see her post at the bottom? You go right down to the bottom and she said, oh, by the way, Nick Hoffman, I'm his mom, blah, blah, blah. It's like Nick Hoffman basically came out what everybody else wanted to say.
I didn't.
And he said it. It was actually.
I didn't really look into any of it.
It was entertaining. Well, I mean,
I saw the initial things that came on. I'm like,
I mean,
get the popcorn out.
This was full fledged keyboard warrior stuff here. I mean, full fledged. And the rumors with, we'll get in the Rocket One, but that's where the.
Well, the Rocket One started this whole goddamn thing.
That's where the tire deal is. So we'll be interested to see what Pierce ends up doing. He's going to run for money. He'll run the big. I would assume he's going to run the bigger. World of Outlaw shows. Maybe not. Maybe he's going to just boycott it completely. Maybe he's going to jump ship and go over to Lucas.
He's going where the money is.
Maybe he's going to stay. Who knows? Maybe he's going to stay and mop up and win every race on the Hell Tour. I don't know.
No, he ain't going. There ain't. He's going to go.
So when does Castro? Flow at Night in America.
That
Castro,
starts in April, don't it?
I don't know.
I think it starts in April.
I don't know. So that's the deal with that. Who knows what's going to pan out? And obviously the other big story of the week was, obviously, like I said, Mark Richards was the whistleblower on the tire doping deal, which stemmed from...
Mark Richards is a crybaby.
Which stemmed from... This is all... We got sources. A lot of the inside sources, pit crew guys, brothers. I've been to Texan drivers. We've been doing a whole bunch of stuff. Obviously, we're media personnel, so we have to do our own investigating. The inside sources were that Huddy and Mark Richards were obviously not getting along. And Mark Richards is a yeller. He's a screamer. He's going to chew your ass. And he was ripping on Huddy for his poor performance and not being very fast. And Huddy said, well, maybe we should start doping tires like everybody else so we can keep up. And then when Mark Richards heard that, that's when the whistleblowing started. Since then, Hudson O'Neill resigned, quit the house car at Rocket One, and Mr. T-Mac, Tim MacCready, is hopping in the seat and taking over the Rocket One car.
Wonder how many races that's going to last.
Huh? It's.
I'll tell you one thing right now. Mark Richards hollers at Tim MacCready, he's going to have a fist on his throat because Tim MacCready ain't going to put up with his shit.
Well, so you go from Brandon Shepard, okay, who at the end of his deal couldn't get out of that car fast enough.
Correct.
Okay, won his title, got out. What's the first thing Brandon Shepard did when he got his own team?
Went and got a Longhorn.
He went and bought multiple Longhorns.
Yep.
Completely got wanted nothing to do with Rocket Chassis.
Correct.
Raced the car, won championships.
And knew all the inside information about everything. First thing he did, unload it.
Gets to a Longhorn. Okay. Hudson O'Neill, first year, wins the championship.
Yep.
Okay. In his dream ride. Young, up and comer. He can't make it 18 months.
Nope.
In the Rocket One. Josh Richards, who's his son, he can't even make it in the Rocket One. Obviously, I think everybody knows where this is going here. So, your thoughts, I want to know, what's your thoughts on T-Mac hopping in the Rocket One car?
I think T-Mac is in the Rocket One car because he's a little bit butthurt about not having the Longhorn house car any longer.
Correct. And
I think that is the reason why he's doing this.
100%. And
he's going to regret it.
And more of that is he's been struggling a little bit. You know,
he's struggling a little bit because he's not as young as he used to be.
Well, he's been struggling. It's a different deal. And he's like, boy, I got an opportunity to hop in a hot rod here. I don't know. I don't know
he's if he's got an opportunity to get in a fist fight with his boss.
Well,
that may happen. I mean, that's right in front of his face.
And I think I get that, but I think Mark Richards is going to have a lot more respect for Tim MacCready.
Mark Richards has fought with everybody he's ever had in that car.
You're talking, how old's T-Mac? Is he our age?
He's older. I think he's 50.
He's older than us, Dust Rockets?
I'm pretty sure.
Huh?
I'm pretty sure.
Is he 51, 49?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you right now because the internet knows everything.
40. Because we're what, 46? You think he's older than us? I know he is older than us. Did you find it?
He's 49.
He's 49. Okay, so he's a few years older than us.
Yeah.
There's obviously going to be a lot more mutual respect there. Now, supposedly, did he?
Mark Richards does not have mutual respect.
Did
Mark
he?
Mark Richards cries and whines. Yeah,
well, I get that. But
Droop rule, all you need to know.
Did
Could,
he?
Can't beat Bloomquist. Let's change the rules.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
What he
you
did.
Got pull, you got to do what you got to do.
He's a bitch.
did MacReady run a rocket at one time? It sounds
MacReady's like. MacReady's been in everything.
But was he never in the house car? Because I read
an
article about being reunited. It must
Rick,
have been.
Rick Auckland was in the Rocket house
yeah,
car.
Yeah, we just talked about that last night on the one to go. We had said he reunited, so he must have just been in a Rocket before. I'm sure that was the case before he's been in the Longhorn house car. So
everybody was in a Rocket if you race late models long enough.
Right. So super interesting. Nobody knows. Huddy has a ride for this weekend. Turbo didn't spill the beans, but he was trying to. It's not a Rocket, but he didn't say what kind of car it is. He just knows it's not a Rocket.
I'll about promise you right now, he's in a Longhorn, and I bet it's freaking another car fielded by Sellers.
Well, the first rumor was he was going to Boom Briggs. Okay, obviously that's not the case.
No.
He's in his home state this weekend in Indiana because they're at Brownstown and where's the other place they're at? Wherever they're at on Friday.
Atomic.
Yeah. So they're in that area. I don't know. There's some rumors flying around what it's going to be, but he's going to eventually, he'll figure something out. He'll get a ride. I'm sure his dad's obviously well-connected and been around forever, and they'll figure something out.
I'd almost be willing to bet you that Roger Sellers is going to have him in a car this weekend. They left on good terms. Sellers has got plenty of equipment.
Yeah, but he's still got Rocket stuff, though.
Who?
Sellers.
No, Sellers has got all Longhorns. That's a Devin Moran's deal.
Did he switch? Oh, that's that
one. Yeah, he's got extra cars. They're in the backyard. They're close to home. They're going to run.
So he's got a car figured out for the weekend. Yeah, obviously, he's in the top. I don't know where he's second or third in points, isn't he? He's got to be up there. So I would assume he wants to keep that and get that rocking. So be interesting to see this weekend.
I thought of that made sense to me too is Lance Landers has a stable of Longhorns.
Right.
He's got extra cars laying around and we all know that car owners don't like letting their cars sit around and get dusty.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm pretty sure Huddy and Davenport don't like each other though. True?
I don't think that's true
at all.
Well,
I thought they didn't seem real kosher at the end of the year last year. I don't know.
Well, of course they're not kosher because he knocked Davenport off his horse.
I think, I don't know what he's got a ride for this weekend. He's going to continue. He'll find a ride to run the rest of the series. So he's, like I said, who knows what's going to happen. He was in the best ride in late model racing, and now he is no longer... part of Rocket One, so
that's a piss poor statement that you just made right there.
No, it's
bad because anytime you have a boss like that, you do not have the best ride out of the equation. No, that's not the equation because he's the guy running the show.
Cars, equipment, money. It doesn't compare. There's no one that can compare. Not Davenport, not Pierce, not Thornton, not anybody that can compare to the Rocket One.
Well, then that goes to show you how bad they really perform.
He's a Lucas Oil champion. Well, what do you mean perform? Plus, sure. They won it the year before. Plus, they won how many World Outlaws with Shepard in a row? You know what I mean? So, I mean, you're not. You got to take them off the high horse yet, and they really haven't. So, but no, you're 100% right though. If you got Mark Richards there. It's going to be a merry-go-round of drivers.
They should. Well, and they won't do it because there's no they. It's Mark. If they lock that asshole in the freaking back room and just tell him to write checks, just think how much they could win. Oof.
Boy. Well, Shepard would still be there. And you're right. You know what I mean?
But see, here's the thing, too, is now you got all the guys that know everything that made them fast, and they're all in Longhorns. Rumley is smarter than Mark Richards is right now. Kevin Rumley is the new age Mark Richards. And now he's not only smarter than him, but now he's got all the tricks.
Oh, that was the rumor flying around too, that Huddy was going to be in that car.
Yeah, but then what are they going to do with Larson?
Does it matter? Build him another one. Larson could buy 50 late models right now. You know what I mean? Like,
but Rumley's not going to put Hudson in the six.
No, they got the five. Yeah, the other one.
That's Shepard's R&D car, though. That's what they're doing. Well,
they don't
on
need
off
an
R&D weekends.
Car anymore because he's R&Ding last night in Farmer City with his house car. So they don't have an R&D car anymore. That was Rumley's R&D car. That was just someone. It was pretty heated that they were talking Rumley was going to get. And who knows?
Maybe they'll throw Hudson in that thing the rest of the year permanently.
And his dad could be connected with Rumley. I don't know. I don't know the back history on that, but there could be some back history there with Don. So
I don't think there's any back history that's relevant anymore since Rumley and Arpin and them the guys from Lombro got together and bought Longhorn. I think those three guys and their ownership group is all that matters, and they're only concerned with one thing: making money. And how do you make money? Go fast.
Yep.
They got resources. They're selling more race cars than any other manufacturer in the country right now, and they're selling them at a higher price than everyone else is selling them. And there's a line from here to Minneapolis to freaking get one.
Yep.
So it's kind of like I don't know. They got the world by the balls.
Yeah.
They really do. And they, because of their situation, they can dictate a lot. They're going to win the World Outlaws Championship now too. Longhorn's going to run the table.
You would definitely think
Brandon Shepard's going to win.
You would 100% think
Shepard will win now that Pierce is out of the way. And Lucas is going to come. It's going to come down to Davenport,
RTJ,
Marler.
Open the door for him.
Yeah, big time.
Well, and you still got Moran, and you still got
and Moran,
and you got McCready's still going to be in there.
So McCready's the only relevant rocket in the country, and he hasn't set foot in the car yet.
I mean, I would think. I mean, you can't count. What's his face?
Dennis Erb Jr. is not going to be.
Garrett Wilson. I mean, he's not in the. They're not in the same realm.
No.
I mean, Mad's out. Jimmy still has both. Basically, Jimmy's been around forever. He knows, like, he'll bring that rocket to where's he win like 39 straight races? It's at track in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Is it Bulls Gap?
Yeah.
Wherever he'll bring his rocket there and he'll win. It don't matter. That car, he's won there with how many years? So, and then, well, obviously Turbo's still in it, but he's not, he's still up and down. So yeah, no, you're right. It's open the door now with I don't know. If it's
Richards is going to be relevated to building crate models, real quick.
Basically, what he's doing. I don't know. Maybe he and like I said, I've said it multiple times. The Longhorn thing is going to come to an end eventually.
Oh, absolutely, they all do.
You're not going to eat. Well, they'll keep going, but I'm just saying you're not going to keep these drivers happy. You're not going to keep them all happy. You're not.
No, there's going to be another spinoff.
There will. What's
gonna, 100%. It's just like when Warrior was on top of the world, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, Scott Blomquist starts Team Zero, and they did it off a Warrior knockoff. It's what's going to happen.
And I mean, was it the BMF deal?
Yeah.
You got a good driver in Tanner English, and then what's his face? Who else is in a BMF that won last weekend?
I don't remember.
Or did he get first or? Maybe he was in the top couple. Is Hedgecock in a BMF now?
Probably. That's that Category 5 car that Stormy Scott's got is one fast
that's coming out.
Freaking thing, too.
Your boy Scott Blomquist came out of retirement last weekend. He got his car back out there.
Now how do you race?
He got 26 out of 27 cars. So he DNF'd. He made the show. He was supposed to start like 9th or 11th. Ran a few laps, came in. They made a Facebook page that aliens abducted their tire guy. So they didn't have the sticker match perfect set of tires for the feature, so he pulled in. Typical Blomquist stories.
Right.
I had something to do with aliens. So that was what the case was there. So Scott said, no, I'm going to be fast. I just got to get the new tire figured out. So that's what he said. Combinations, whatever it was. So he's going to be running, I think he said he's running the Hunt the Front full time. And then I would assume he's going to go to the big shows.
Oh, he'll go to the world.
Yeah, he'll go to that stuff. So he's got a car back out again. The late model landscape has completely changed, and they've been off for a while now. Lucas has got, you said, Atomic and Brownstown this weekend, two events. World of Outlaws got canceled. Can't remember where they were supposed to be, some new place that did a bunch of remodeling, and it's wet and blah, blah, blah. So
I read that. I was like, what are you doing?
And then the what else is going on in late model world? So we talked about Bloomquist, Rocket, the tire deal. Is there anything else relevant there? Brandon Overton won last weekend. And who won the Hunt the Front race? No, Overton won the Hunt the Front race.
He won
RTJ Talladega. Won that other one. Was it at Talladega? They just turned that into a one-day deal.
Yeah,
it
was the one there. RTJ won that Northern All-Stars or whatever the hell it was called. He won that.
And then I think it was Clayton Stuckey won that Comp Cams race. Is that who that was?
Didn't even know there was a Comp
Cams
race.
Came from like
19th
in his. They own Black Diamond, right?
Yes.
So they kind of came on strong for a while, and then all of a sudden you don't see any Black Diamonds anymore.
No, either. That was, I don't know. It's so hard to get a presence in that game. If you're going to start to think you're going to build late model chassis and be competitive, you're bringing a knife to a gunfight. I mean, you're going to compete against, well, it used to be the Four Horsemen when you had multiple manufacturers, but you're basically competing against Longhorn now. Everybody's competing against Longhorn, and they're all losing. You got to have a really, really smart guy in your corner, and then you got to have a salesman on top of it.
Right. Yep.
You got to first order of business. Find a guy smarter than Kevin Rumley. Well, that list is very, very short.
Yep.
And the guy that is probably isn't even in the racing game. So there's hurdle number one. Then hurdle number two is you got to try talk these guys into buying your shit when they've got all their money invested already.
Exactly.
You know, not everybody's got Stormy Scott's grandma's money to just go out and buy a new fleet of cars.
No, and then like you said, this day and age, you know, Tanner English jumped out to a different chassis, but you're not going to get any of these top guys to jump out and hop in your stuff. So, so that's Lucas Oils this weekend. Friday, the Buckeye Spring 50 at Atomic, and then Saturday, they're at the Indiana Icebreaker at Brownstown. That's a little bullring, right?
Correct.
So there should be a couple good races. The World Outlaw Sprint Cars are Friday. The Blue Bonnet Showdown at the Big O Speedway in Ennis, Texas, and then Saturday, they're at Kennedale Speedway Park.
Let's talk about the World Outlaw Sprint Cars.
We're going to hit the World Outlaw Sprint Cars right now. So can you tell me who the point leader right now is, the World Outlaws Sprint Cars is?
Is it Donnie Schatz?
Nope.
Is it David Gravel?
Nope.
It must be Sheldon Hodenshield?
Nope.
Logan Schuhart?
Nope.
No idea.
Come on.
Got nothing.
Hot Sauce.
Oh, is he?
Hot Sauce. Giovanni Selzy is the World of Outlaw Sprint Car point leader right now. I think he's got a 16-point lead
over... He ain't
going
to stay there.
Well, I already made that call. Schatz is in third. So Brent Marks won Friday night last weekend. Where were they at? I can't even remember. What track were they at?
I don't know. I watched it, and he put a beating on him.
Marks did, and then did Selzy won on Saturday, correct?
Yeah.
But Selzy had a podium. He got third on Friday and then got the win. So that's the... World of Outlaw Sprint Cars.
Here's what I want to say about the World of Outlaw Sprint Cars. They're a brand in decline. They can't even get a full field of cars.
No, they had full field last weekend.
No, they
didn't. But here's my take on this deal. You don't want more than 24 or 25 cars.
Yeah, but you got to have more than 19.
No, they didn't have 19. They had 20. They had 25.
Not this last weekend, the weekend before.
The weekend before they had 19.
Yeah.
Okay, but listen, like I don't. But the quality's there. Okay. And did you watch World Outlaws last weekend? It was snap, 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 snap. And what's the first one? The announcer said, "Well, look at the pits right now. All the kids got to go down there. Usually these races get over at midnight, 1 o'clock, and none of these kids get to go down there and see."
The World Outlaw Sprint Cars do a good job early in the year and late in the year with that because they don't run shit for support classes. But when they get in the middle of the summer and all these tracks are wide open with their weekly schedules, yeah. Their shows get drug out.
Yeah, so it's and obviously you can think, you can thank your buddy Brad Sweet.
My buddy Brad Sweet.
He's a redheaded stepchild, and he's your buddy. And then Kyle Larson, you can thank those guys. And it is what it is. I don't agree with it, what they did. And you know, now all these guys aren't going to show up because they're not running their series. They're not going to run these shows.
I do agree with it.
I don't.
I do. And I'm going to tell you why. There's no reason anybody should have a monopoly on it.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Besides the point.
The way the World Racing Group is running it with their platinum membership and their four-show bullshit.
That's besides the point.
Nah. It's good. It's just like living the PGA. Did it cause some fracture in golf? Absolutely. But you know what? They got free agency now, and now everybody's got to be better.
And at the end of the day, they're going to be one and done anyway. The high limit deal.
You might be right.
All you're doing is hurting the fans in this whole deal. That's all you're doing. Because all the fans want to see Rico and Kyle and Sweet and all these guys show up and run against shots and gravel. That's all you're doing is hurting the fans, and you're hurting the fan base in these tracks. Well, look at the high limit series. They couldn't even get 50 people at the
That was in Georgia.
I get that.
We already talked about this.
I get that. That was in Georgia, but still. So it is what it is. But if you can have, I have no issues with the World Outlaw Sprint Cars showing up and having 24 to 26 cars. I got no problem with that. Snap, snap, three heats, do your show, because they can get sprung off because they got hot laps and you got to push start them. Then they got heats. Then they got a dash. And then they got 95 LCQs because they got sponsors for them, so they have to run an LCQ. And then you got the feature. But they snap, snap, snap right through that show. And we always say at a 30-lap World of Outlaw feature, we'll take that any day of the week to watch.
That's the biggest draw of the World of Outlaws. It ain't the rest of it. The heat races suck. The dash usually sucks worse.
Yep.
Qualifying sucks no matter what you're watching because it's one guy driving around in circles.
Yep.
B-mains can be okay sometimes, but the feature race is what you're buying your ticket for.
Yep. Yep. So what was this guy's name? Did you watch the Sprint Cars out in Chico this last weekend?
No.
They had four. Obviously, they run them at Silver Dollar.
Yep.
The heck's this guy's name? I'm going to find it here right now. Ryan Robinson. I watched Friday night. I can't remember what happened. Anyway, it had some character. And this guy was running right to the middle of the top. Ryan Robinson, he barely ever wins out there.
Yeah.
He drives from 18th, takes the lead. he went by everybody like they were parked. He was running the rough stuff.
He was over the cushion?
Well, not quite. He was in the middle. And it was hammered down. It was rough. And there's a couple decent guys out there that run. You know, those 410 guys out there. Right. That's what they do. Anyway, he's bouncing through the holes. Comes by, takes the white flag, just takes the lead. He's bouncing through the holes, blows her off the top of two, stays in it, catches the wall. Barrel rolls down the back straightaway and destroyed his car. I mean, destroyed that thing. Had the lead, had the race won, starting 19th, had it booked.
Just junk.
I mean, junk. I got the video. I'll say, I thought I did send it to you, but I mean, junked that thing. Deased wheels and wings and shit was flying everywhere.
Full-blown yard sale.
Full-blown yard sale. So he went from... That was a hero to zero moment of the week, but, but you know how Silver Dollar gets. It's a fun place to watch. They put on a show there and had a little character and got a little choppy. So, yeah, and I don't know. When's the high limit start back up? What do they got going on?
Don't know.
They're too busy cooking something up.
They're
making new rules, so make sure Sweet and Larson don't have to qualify, don't have to run a heat, but still start in the top four rows.
I honestly... this is where I'm at with this. this winter, spring speed. I've gotten to the point where I don't even give a shit about what's going on anymore. Because here's the reality. I haven't seen one intelligent thing come out of any of it. I mean, anything. Nothing.
Drama.
High limits, freaking shafting guys with contracts and got their monkey see, monkey do, hanky panky, freaking qualifying bullshit.
Yep.
And then you got World Outlaws getting 19 freaking cars at a freaking sprint car race. And then there's nothing noteworthy to talk about. So you got freaking dickhead Brian Carter suspending guys for tire dope when everybody knows that every trailer's got a gallon of it somewhere. And then, I mean.
So question for you. Let me ask you this.
Where does it end?
So let's say we run speed weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Should we shut down for a month, two?
Well, I think that speed week, forget about speed weeks, okay? The events that shouldn't happen, the Wild West Shootout shouldn't happen. Sunshine Nationals shouldn't happen. The IMCA shit out in Arizona, they've been doing that since Hitler was a kid. I mean, whatever. If you want to keep doing it, do it.
Dome?
I
mean, it's a huge event.
I'd say no.
Do you kind of have the...
You're watering. You have such a long season with no break now that everyone is losing interest because they don't get a break.
It's going to catch up with people.
It is.
Because the World Outlaws end, Lucas's end October, right? And then they go, World Outlaws is like November 1st, 2nd, 3rd, yeah. Somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a couple...
Turkey bowls,
well, East Alabama. And then you kind of hit the dome, and then it's a break.
Turkey Night Grand Prix has always been a thing, but that's just one two-night deal, and then it's done.
Yeah.
There shouldn't literally be a race. Like, there shouldn't be a race hardly to watch anywhere from the first weekend of November to April 1st.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's too much. I mean,
They're killing themselves by doing it because they're making their season longer and longer and longer. And I'll backtrack a little bit. Arizona, different story. New Mexico, different story. Because they can't race in the summer.
They don't race in the summer.
It's too freaking hot.
Their seasons are basically from then.
But this business of these national touring series, I mean, Christ almighty, you get done in November and you're running again in January?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not good for anyone.
No. How were the Brandon was down there? How were the crowds down at that? What was the track you were at? The first one, the little circle.
Yeah.
Northwestern Speedway. It was in like the Panhandle somewhere, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was an IMCA deal. There's actually some decent race in there. Did you watch any of that?
I did.
We were watching it that one night.
Yeah.
It was a little circle. Were the crowds
that night,
okay?
That night it got rough in the middle. It was really racy.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised.
Yeah. It looked like the crowds were, and there was all travelers. I mean, there was a couple. You're not going to get any IMC.
Well, brought Iowa to Florida is what they did. You looked at the lineups, and that's fine. But they're killing their own brand by doing this. I understand what they're trying to do. But when you've got the same guys that are supporting all this stuff 10, 11 months out of the year, you burning that candle at both ends. Next thing you know, it's gravy season where you're supposed to have good stuff going on.
And they're not.
And they're nowhere to be found.
Yep.
They're burnt out. You know, tear up their shit, destroy two race cars and novelty races, and now you're in your breadbasket of your season where you're supposed to be, and these guys are gone.
Right.
You know? Racing is following kids' sports. There's not a kids' sport that's ever supposed to be 12 months out of the year.
They all are now.
But they all are.
Yep.
Every freaking
thing. And it's wrecking it. It's 100% wrecking it.
It's wrecking it, and it's wrecking the participants. That's why they get burnt out. They just done.
I know for a fact, because by the time they get to my level, my age, majority of them are just burnt out.
Oh, yep.
I'm going to go to school. Screw this. Yeah. Whatever. You know, they're burnt out. I see it all the time. Kids are burnt out.
It's causing kids to plateau before they should be plateauing
injuries are out of control right now.
Yep.
A lot of that has to do with year-round stuff. A lot of that has to do with Dr. Fauci, but we don't need to get into that on this show.
Fraud-chi.
But let's, you've seen these young kids with injuries, and it's stupid. It's year-round. These kids don't have a break. They don't take a break.
Well, we got into the hockey talk here again. Well, I suppose it would have been 2 weeks ago when high school hockey tournament was going on.
Yep.
And I was talking to somebody else whining about, oh yeah, they're class A, they can't compete. There needs to be a third class in hockey. And I said, stop the freaking truck right there.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I said, back before participation medals were a thing, I said, we played class AA in this town, and we didn't make any excuses when we got our ass kicked.
Nope.
And when we beat the shit out of people, we strutted around like we were the big cock on the block, because we were.
Yep.
That's how it's supposed to work.
Yep.
None of this, oh, little Johnny got his feelings hurt, so we have to give him a medal. No, you get your ass back in the saddle, and you get better. And when you get good enough, then you can get your trophy. Until then, sorry.
Yeah.
There's only one winner. So they're like, well, yeah, if Alec had this, if Alec had that. I said, here's the deal. I said, Alec's hockey program at the youth level is backwards.
Right.
Well, how can you say they're backwards? I said, kids play too much hockey.
Yeah.
I said, when we had Wrecking Crew teams, you didn't touch.
We never touched ice in
you
summer.
Didn't, no.
Once.
I said, summer hockey for was baseball.
We went up to Moorhead. We went up to Moorhead for one week in July. That's all we did.
Yep.
And you weren't, that was just for fun.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was.
Summer hockey was freaking baseball. Everybody on the hockey team played baseball.
You played pitching machine. We'd ride our bikes down to Fillmore.
You'd play pitching machine. Then you'd go to ABA at night.
And you'd go to AAB at Lincoln at night.
Yeah. And did anybody ever get hurt?
Nope.
I mean, freak shit, but there was no pattern. Because you weren't beating the shit out of the same.
And guess what? We all had basketball hoops in our driveway.
Yep.
Every single one of us did.
Mm-hmm.
We all had tennis rackets.
Yep.
We all did everything.
Well-rounded athletes.
And it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't.
Now you got one-trick ponies.
I always tell people, because obviously I grew up with that team, we were really good. I always tell people, we'd go up to Moorhead, up to Terry Cullen's camp, whatever it's called, for a week.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's all we did.
Yep.
And we played baseball. But when you walked, remember when high school captain's practice used to start 2 weeks before the season?
Yep.
When you walked into the rink in October, you were jacked. I mean, you were – these kids these days, they're at the rink all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's zero excitement when the kids walk into the rink.
Right.
Because they're at the rink all the time.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I always tell people, I said, you got to bring that excitement back.
And you know what else? And you know what else it's hard on? It's really hard on parents.
Oofed. Horrible.
Parents have responsibility to how kids are on.
Mm-hmm.
With that responsibility comes enjoyment of watching your kids. It's not enjoyable for any parent to sit in the same group with the same group of people in the same freaking location 12 months out of the year.
Right.
They get bored and they hate it.
It's bad. It's bad.
And then it changes the attitude of everything. And we're talking about hockey because hockey's obviously been the poster child for this, and that's the think season that just got done, and it's obviously here in Minnesota, it's the biggest deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's everything. It's every sport. Wrestling is even getting to be this way. My grandson wrestles. He just got done wrestling last weekend, and he got a tough bracket at the state tournament this year. Two natives from up north and another guy from Fergus that was good.
The Bagley and Red Lake Falls kids?
No, you got one from Black Duck and one from Grand Rapids.
I'm close.
Yeah. And he's like, he whipped the kid's ass from Fergus, and he ran out of gas against the one against Grand Rapids. He should have won that one too, but the kid from Bagley, or the kid from Black Duck was
Black
just.
Duck? Yeah.
He's like, Grandpa, I knew I was screwed when I shook his hand. He goes, he had a lot of grip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, they figured it out young, right?
Right.
But it's the same thing. I told him, I said, you're going to have to make a decision how serious you want to be about this. Because I said, it's pretty obvious what the kids that you're wrestling at this level are doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah. He goes, I know, they're wrestling all summer.
Yeah.
I said, do you want to play baseball, right? He goes, well, yeah. I said, I'm sorry to tell you, but if you're going to play baseball in the summer and you're not going to wrestle, I said, technically, these kids are going to be better than you. But you got to admit, you got to decide if you want to have some variety and enjoy multiple things in your life or get sick and burnt out on one. I said, at the end of the day, it'll all come full circle. Yeah. I said, athletes are athletes. But what you decide to do now is going to determine whether or not you have short-term success or satisfaction with what you're doing.
And if he's a wrestler, too, he's going to have a good strength and conditioning program. So you're going to have if you want to take it serious, you know what I mean? So you're going to have time to do that. And that's kind of you got to have some off time and then start working out and training. And
well, he's fortunate. He's naturally strong. I mean, he's the strongest kid on the mat just about every time he goes out. The problem is it's all this technical crap. Yeah. These kids that are 10 years old know how to do stuff that kids didn't know how to do till they were in high school because it's just advanced.
And they're not. It's nonstop.
And you advance by being nonstop, right? I mean, that's the only way you do it is more time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Kids don't know what a fishing pole is anymore. They don't know what it's like just to go hang out at the beach like we used to do because they got their whole world is structured and racing's going the same way and it's not good.
No. One last racing topic before we end the show here. We got to hit on to your favorite sanction. Did you watch the NASCAR race at Bristol on Sunday? Or did you hear about it?
I heard it was good, so I turned it on with like 25 laps to go, and I watched the Saturday Night Late Model Features.
Yeah, that's basically what you watch, yes.
And I liked the fact that it was a traffic jam.
Yep.
I liked the fact that there was only 5 cars in the lead lap, which means that there was definitely some planning that went into
this.
I'm
sitting there going, this is old school Richard Petty, David Pearson
and
stuff.
And then
I
paid attention to the track. I was just watching the cars, and I thought, holy shit, there's a lot of rubber laying up around the wall. I'm like, this is back 1990 stuff going on here. They might have finally got something right. It's been a couple decades, but the first thing I looked at was when I first turned it on, I looked and I saw the grandstand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit, there's nobody there. But then I remembered, it's Bristol. There's 150,000 people that fit in there.
60%.
Yeah, they were over 70,000. Yeah. And they were just elated in Phoenix the week before that they had sold it out at 40,000 and there was almost double at Bristol. Yeah. I'm like, well, that's moving the right direction.
Right.
And the product, disclaimer, I still totally hate NASCAR. It was closer to respectable. But there's nobody there that's willing to get in a fight.
No.
There's nobody there that's willing to smash the shit out of somebody because they made them mad. It's woke racing at its finest is what it is. But Goodyear needs to stand their ground and not change these tires.
No.
They've already watered the cars down so they're all the same, and they're 600 horse. It's little girl racing compared to what it was in the 1990s.
Yep.
They should have 1,000 horsepower and be on the tires they're on.
And everybody – so I was watching a little bit of – I don't know if Denny Hamlin have his own podcast or – if he was on Juniors or whatever it was, but he was like, this is awesome. He's like, and they had to change on the fly. I think you missed, by the time you tuned in, the Goodyear garage, they couldn't mount tires up fast enough because people were running out of them. They were going to cut the race short because they didn't have enough tires left. And then they had tires lined up and the teams were coming over there and scooping them up 4 at a time and running them over to their pits. And they were just throwing tires on. And the thing that threw a curveball is, so they tested that tire in the off-season sometime.
Yep.
Denny Hamlin was saying this yesterday. But they put PJ1 down on the track when they tested.
Yeah.
and they didn't use PGA-1 this. Did you see the black strip? They use some sort of other resin, whatever you want to call it. They used a different material. The track wasn't taking rubber. When they tested, the track took rubber. So it was like a cheese grater driving on that. And Denny Hamlin goes, so we went out there for practice. We were all a second to a second half slower than we were at the fall race and even on the tire test. No one could figure out what was going on. Well, the only difference was they didn't use PGA-1 on the track, and they used something else.
But there should be no treatment on a track.
But no. No.
None.
Help. No, you don't need it. Now, if tires are like that, you don't need extra grip.
Well, no, and you shouldn't anyway, because isn't part... Okay. Everything... The race, with the exception of this last race, NASCAR races are won on pit road. This is the only race in the last how many years that's actually been won on the track.
Yeah. 100%, okay? Yeah.
These guys got all these high buck engineers and everything else. Let them figure it out.
Yep. And pit strategy came into play. Josh Berry came in early, and it looked like he was in the fast lane on the Autobahn going by guys. I mean, it was like a video game on
like
easy.
Old school Darlington.
Yes. And then all of a sudden.
Or old Rockingham.
And then all of a sudden it was boom. He dropped like a, it was dropped like a lead balloon. And then, you know, Denny Hamlin, can't remember who was, Truex. Some of these veterans
guys don't know how to manage tires because they've always been on rocks.
And then, you know, the flip side is, like Hamlin said, the amount of adjustments we had to go into our cars, because those cars are so stiff. The amount of adjustments that we had to do to try to save tires and get off the right front, get off the right rear. And Bristol, it's banked. It's nonstop. You're constantly on your right side tires. So those guys did a good job.
All I got to say is it's a good thing that Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart weren't in the field on Sunday or ate a lap in five times, because they were in their heyday kicking everybody's ass. That's what they ran on.
But it was a fun race. Everybody was on their toes. It wasn't the whole hum. And it got to be a little long at time. But once, I tell you what, if there wouldn't have been stages... like the old school Bristol.
That's the way it should be.
They would have ran straight through. That would have made things really interesting, because now some people could only get 35 to 40, and some people were stretching them out to 55, 60. Complete different game changer if there wouldn't have been stages, and you could have ran that race straight through. There would have been more yellows probably, but who cares?
So here's the deal. NASCAR, get your head out of your ass. Leave Goodyear alone. Shit can your stages and go back to the way it used to be, because that's the only way you're going to get your product.
You want to know what the problem is right now, though, is? Guess where they're at this weekend? Circuit of Americas. Road course.
Oh, sweet.
But
is that Sonoma?
No. Is that Sonoma? I thought this was a new one.
I don't know what it is.
I thought Circuit of Americas.
I don't know nothing about NASCAR anymore, Jeff.
Circuit of America. I don't know where Circuit of America is. That's in Austin, Texas.
What the?
It's a completely different track. So that's my point. You got all the hype right now, and now you're going to go to Circuit. You just took short track Bristol. Okay? Now you're going to Circuit of Americas.
Like, what I'm they should be doing right now, they should be going straight to Richmond.
Or North Worksboro. Or boom. Martinsville.
Shit. Everybody's paying attention to what's going on. Yeah. Okay. Pay attention. Now get rid of these mile and a halfs that nobody cares about.
I had zero, you know, in the past, it used to be Sonoma and Watkins Glen. That's the only two road courses they went to.
And they were totally different from each other.
Now they're doing downtown.
Nah.
Where are they going downtown this year? Chicago?
Or who knows? Well, then they can't do it in Chicago. Somebody will get shot during the race.
They're going downtown somewhere. Because, like, you know, F1 did what, Vegas?
I don't know.
Didn't F1 do a downtown Vegas race last? Yeah, they did.
I have no idea because I don't pay attention to any of it.
And people are all mad because they blocked off they put up barriers so no one could see walking down the strip or whatever. But, I looked at the schedule. First thing I did, I pulled my phone up after the Bristol race. Where are they racing next weekend? And I said, Circuit of America's night. I threw my phone down. I'm like, what the hell? Just completely, I don't want to watch a road course. Do you?
I used to like watching road courses when it was Watkins Glen and Sears Point. and they actually had real race cars,
yes,
with soft tires, and they brought in the road course ringers in, and
that's all Boris said.
Yeah, yep, and they would beat the living piss out of each other.
And then all the teams would like Childress would hire a guy, Gibbs, and
Robbie Gordon would come rolling in. Doing his Ivan Stewart.
And those guys, they beat the tar out of the regulars.
Oh, they didn't? Yeah, they didn't care.
It's the only time Juan Pablo ever had a chance to win a race.
Didn't run into the dryer.
So, yeah, So, like I said, I saw the only thing that I was concerned about, he's got to make sure these tires are safe, though, too, because these guys are going.
Jeff.
Wow, did you see a couple of they were? You talk about debalminating. A couple of them tires were, but I get it. It's the teams.
It's the responsibility of the teams to make sure that their cards are set up to handle it.
Nope, I 100% get it.
Everything. Make sure it's all about money, right? Everybody's got to be the same. Let's put some variables back.
And they're
in
not
the
going to run that soft of a tire at a Charlotte or Atlanta. There'd be, like I said, there'd be the ambulance would be driving. Nonstop.
Well, no, there's times and places for it,
but.
They need to get rid of restrictor plates, period. And if they can't get rid of them, then take the track off the schedule. Done. And what's with this 600 horse bullshit? Every freaking modified at Viking Speedway has got more than 600 horse.
Did you see Harvick's comment on, well, he said it live on the air.
No.
He said 1,000 horsepower or bust is what NASCAR should be.
Yep. 100%.
Get rid of a restrictor plate in Atlanta. You know what I mean?
I agree with him. Stop 100%.
Let him buck.
Yep.
You want to put the biggest, baddest Richard Petty, David Pearson beast in that thing and go up there and lap the field? Well, guess what everybody else had to do when they did that? Remember when Petty first brought out that, whatever, that 421 Hammy or whatever, 427? And he smoked everybody? Well, guess what everybody did? Oh, well, I guess we're going to have to get faster.
Yep.
He literally lapped the field multiple times. He was the only car in the lead lap. He won.
NASCAR isn't about racing, though. NASCAR is about parody.
Bare knuckling, open face.
Yep. Spin out of the infield. You get pissed. The guy get out, go pound the tar
and
out of him.
Those guys were going twice as fast as they are now. No one ever died back then.
Yeah, there are very few.
It's not
racing. I'm sorry, but I every time I watch a race. And it's even getting to be this way with dirt on a lot of things. You ask yourself the question, and obviously not everybody knows what we know about this because they're not involved at the level we are, but you look at the rules that everybody comes out with and all the shit that they do, why do we even race? Because they want everybody to be so same, and the way you get stuff now, there's no garage ingenuity left anymore because you can't because there's a rule against everything. Right. It's like, how are you supposed to separate yourself?
We got this guy right here taking care
of
things.
Yeah, we got Billiam.
I had to wear my Billiam shirt today because I'm mad at him.
Why are you mad at Billiam?
Well, my phone's going off the hook again. All the Superstock drivers are mad. Guess what? This is how stupid they are. They added a line in the Superstocks. Cold air boxes are not allowed.
Bullshit. You've been running a freaking cold air box in your car since the beginning of time.
Yeah, I mean, it was just added. It was, you could see it was like A, B, C, D, E, F, and all of a sudden X, and it's underlined in the rule book. No cold air boxes.
You've only had one on your car since the beginning of time. And now you can't run one?
No, I guess not. And I have no clue how it slipped in there. And
who made that rule?
Well, who do you think?
Was it Billy's unwritten rules?
It was the committee. I guess the committee's making the rules now. So, yeah, no, I had. Superstock guy pointed out to me, and then had a couple other texts, and be like, listen, and
everybody's already got one.
They're getting a phone call, okay? Well, they're putting them on. People are hiding stuff.
Oh,
well,
bullshit.
Guess what? Make them take it off. It's four screws, and it comes right off. I take mine off all the time when I go into tech. I mean, at the end of the day, okay, it's helping my equipment too.
100%.
I was making my engine run longer, okay. There's a mite. It's minor performance, okay? With cold air, yes, it helps a little horsepower, blah, blah, blah. But also, it's economy-wise.
And the hot, humid shit we run into the summer, exactly. It don't matter.
It's helping.
It's bad.
But it's obviously something that's going to help me save money, help me save my engine. It's going to run more efficient. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I might get another 10, 15 nights out of it because I, you know what I mean? Can't run them now. Banned.
You can't run something that you can bend up with a brake and run, put 8 rivets in.
So now I got to get someone on the phone. Figure, it's like,
what in the hell is wrong with these idiots?
No different than the street stock bodies and all this other. It's like people doping tires and nonstop traction control out there. People getting busted with doping tires last year and sort of didn't do nothing about it. We could touch base with that later. Can't run. No, it can't run. I can't have a cold air box, Dan.
Can't have a cold air box, but the one that you got in your car has been there since freaking 1997.
And it's homemade. Sake.
Yeah, I know. You took a piece of freaking body tin, shoved some rivets in the damn thing, and pop some holes in it, screw it on, and it's done. Use a piece of scrap that you would use
in an hour. Maybe it didn't even cost $10.
It didn't cost nothing because you had to buy the sheet anyway.
And
to
the
make
flip
your body.
Side is that it's it helps brace the hood, keeps everything cleaner under there. You know what I mean? It's like people are just being smart, that's, trying to do something.
That's stupid ass. That's dumb. that's just dumb.
So that's why I got the Billy M shirt on today. I wore it last night on the show too. So Brandon probably saw that.
What the freaking hell?
I don't know. Like I said, I'll know. I'm making phone call this week. You're going to know.
Ugh.
You'll know next time we do a podcast. So let's got to thank our sponsors, Dan. We got to thank elevate-visual.com. Thank Brandon. Anybody needs any video work, any video production done? Did you get any of your proofs? I know you just did a bunch of stuff for some realtors in town. You got some videos up online.
I saw the finished product.
Oh, really?
It was impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Was it drone stuff?
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. So if there's any realtors out there, you need any drone work done of your land, any other sort of video production, make sure you get a hold of Brandon at elevate-visual.com. If you want to get some dirt podcast apparel, hop on shopbeanstock.com. I think we're going to be adding a couple things.
Well, you got to get your Diet Miller Time sweatshirts.
You got to get your Diet Miller sweatshirts. If you need any dirt podcast apparel, shopbeanstock.com. Thanks to Team Redline Graphics, the Tammins over there, and Ryan Flatten with Team Redline Graphics for our stickers. Who are we missing? We missing one more? No? I thought I'm missing somebody. Are we missing somebody, Dan?
I don't know.
For sponsors?
Can't think. I'm so goddamn mad about the stupid air box.
Where's your Billium shirt? You should have worn your Billium shirt.
Wasoda Tech Committee or whatever the hell you call yourselves. Focus on shit that matters. Not a freaking piece of aluminum with 8 rivets in it.
Common sense, right?
God.
Yeah, so thanks to all our sponsors. Make sure you hop up on... make sure you hit the like button on Spotify. Hit the little heart so you can like that and share that. And as soon as the Dirt Podcast gets posted, boom, does it pop up on your phone like it does mine?
No.
He says, no. Well, no. Since we do have a few fans out there, that's boom. It pops up right
away.
Yeah,
what's I suppose we're not adding much these days because we're not regularly putting out new content. It's getting to be that time of the year, though, where we're going to have to get more regular again.
Oh, yeah. We will.
But there really hasn't been a lot to talk about, and everything that we've been talking about has been drama and stupidity. So,
that's what people want. That's what the listeners want. Man,
all you
drama.
Oh, hey.
Stupidity.
Well, I mean, we could get rid of tractor tires and put what were those things called that they put inside on the. We can't say the track because we don't speak about them on this.
Do you remember the Saturday Night Live episode? The guy's name was Johnny Hildo.
Yep.
Do you remember that? Brandon, you got to go Google that. Do you remember Johnny Hildo?
Yep.
And they're like, hey, Hildo.
Yeah.
That's basically what went down at I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch to see if those little plastic dealer things. Johnny Hildo.
Sure, like the infield tractor tire had it dialed. Go over to the infield tractor tire. You'll see what we're talking about. We're not going to speak any more about this because some of you probably got kids in your car when you're listening to us. But yeah, one of the most stupidest things I've ever seen in my life.
So we're going to have to see what pops up with that. So, yeah, make sure you like us on Facebook. You can follow us on there. Like I said, Spotify. What is it? Amazon. I don't know. We're on a whole bunch of stuff. Anywhere you can find podcasts. I know I got us added on that one race. Someone posted. Did you see someone posted a bunch of racing podcasts?
Yeah.
And we were on there. It was kind of a cool deal. So. Nationwide, and we actually got interesting. I don't you'll hear it on the show. Aho got an email from a guy from Pennsylvania. He said he listens to the One to Go show all the time. Now he's starting to he's just a fan that likes hearing racing from different regions. So
what's going on in the rest of the world?
Yeah, it's crazy the people that you're going to see and listen to and get and have some fans. So that's it, folks. Got any last closing comments, Dan? I know you do. Oh, he's looking at my shirt going. Use guys.
Yeah. Use guys. All right.
Use guys, a bunch of troublemakers on that podcast.
Well, there's only one troublemaker, and it's the King Idiot himself.
So there you have it, folks. Episode 3.
Freaking Airbox.
Season 3 in the books. And we will see everybody on the flip side.